Hey there, astrology lover. Did you know that you can learn practical astrological magic here at Astrology Hub? That's right. We're bringing you a hands-on workshop where you'll learn everything you need to know to get started with Jen Zart, PhD, who's been practicing astrological magic for over 2 decades. I recently asked Jen what students can expect in the upcoming workshop, and here's what she had to say.
Magic is a practice of engaging with, I would call, like, the forces of the universe in a devotional way to achieve results. I find that engaging with magic just makes your life better on all levels because it really forces you to think about what do you really want, what is worth doing ritual with, and who are you, who do you want to become? You know, even the desire to change your circumstances points towards a gap that might need to be addressed in a magical and a mundane way.
I just love that. Jen is such an amazing, dynamic, and inspiring teacher, and I'm so grateful that we get to share her wisdom with you in this workshop. So if you're interested in learning a hands-on approach to making magic every day, go to astrologyhub.com/magic and enroll in practical astrological magic today. Class starts on November 15th, so don't miss out. Go to astrologyhub.com/magic. We can't wait to see you in class. Hi there and welcome. This is Amanda, the founder of Astrology Hub, and you're listening to our Week Ahead Snapshot with world-class astrologer, historian, and author of The Cosmic Calendar, Christopher Renstrom. This show is designed to give you a quick overview of the week ahead, enabling you the gift of choice in how you navigate and weave these energies into your daily life. Enjoy.
Hello, my name is Christopher Renstrom, and I'm your weekly horoscope columnist here on Astrology Hub. And this week, I wanted to talk to you about the extraordinary Venus, Mercury, and Sun trines to Jupiter in Pisces that will be taking place. Now, the reason why I use the word extraordinary is because these trines in and of themselves are very remarkable. As you might recall, earlier this year, in the month of April, we had a very, very rare Jupiter-Neptune conjunction take place in the zodiac sign of Pisces. Now, the reason why this made so many astrologers excitable is because Jupiter is the ancient ruler of Pisces, Neptune is regarded as the modern ruler of Pisces, and the two of them were coming together in their own zodiac sign. So this is one of those, like, once-in-a-lifetime or several-lifetimes events that, again, makes all astrologers rather excited. And so this took place in the month of April. Now, what's interesting is that Jupiter usually spends one full year in a zodiac sign. It takes Jupiter 1 year to pass through every one of the zodiac signs, which is why we will celebrate a Jupiter return to its place in your own natal chart once every 12 years. And this is seen as being a very good and benevolent sort of thing. So here we had this conjunction take place. Jupiter's supposed to be in Pisces for the whole year, but because of a peculiarity in orbits, it didn't spend an entire year in Pisces. It actually left the zodiac sign of Pisces in April, and it returned to the zodiac sign of Pisces at the end of October. And that's what makes this so intriguing to me as an astrologer. Basically, it skipped one of the water signs, okay? In other words, it didn't skip one of the water signs. Jupiter is in Pisces. I didn't say that the best way that I could have, but it never made a trine to the sun when the sun was in the zodiac sign of Cancer, okay? Because Jupiter wasn't in Pisces at that time. Usually, because Jupiter is in a sign for an entire year, it will conjoin the sun and it will make two trines to it. But that didn't happen this time. And whenever things don't happen this time in astrology, that always piques an astrologer's interest. We begin to ask, well, what's that all about? And how do we interpret this? And does it mean anything? And of course, I happen to believe that it does. When you take the three water signs, and the three water signs in astrology are Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces, you basically see the entire cycle of love, one could say. So as the sun passes from Cancer and it goes into Scorpio and then it goes into Pisces, if you put that on the agricultural year here in the Northern Hemisphere, and the reason I'm always referring back to the agricultural year and the Northern Hemisphere is because this is the origin of astrology here in the West. The astrological signs, the characters of the astrological signs, the way that they are understood can be understood very much according to the season of the year in which they take place. So as I said before, when you look at the three water signs together, you're really looking at a journey of love. Okay. What you have with the first zodiac sign of the agricultural year in the sign of water, that's Cancer. Cancer is the first water sign in the agricultural year that begins with Aries. All right. What you have in Cancer are the familiar idea of hearth and home, the good mother, a time of year in the summer where all of your needs are taken care of. You don't really have to look around for food that much because there's usually fruit hanging from the trees. Fish are easy to catch in rivers and streams, and vegetables sort of like volunteer themselves for your cuisine from the earth itself. So the summer was always seen as being a time of plenty and a time of abundance. And so the zodiac sign of Cancer being the sign of the mother, and particularly the good mother. Now, that doesn't mean that your mother's always good if you're born under the zodiac sign of Cancer, but the idea is that your mother should be good. And this time of the year was the good mother associated to the summer solstice and to the zodiac sign of Cancer. So this is when one is feeling loved, when one is feeling held and embraced and bonded with, when you can suckle at your mother's breast and you are rocked lovingly in her arms, and you can maybe even take a poop in your diapers and she'll go and change them for you. Okay, so these are all the things that are associated with Cancer, okay, the first of the three water signs. When we get to the zodiac sign of Scorpio, Scorpio is the heart of autumn. Okay, so all of those flowers that were blooming in summer, all of those fish that were jumping up and down in the streams, all of that fruit that was hanging from the branches, all of those vegetables that were producing themselves from the earth, they're all gone. Okay, so basically all the flowers and the lovely abundance of summer has gone to seed. And this is associated with the heart of autumn. This is associated with the zodiac sign of Scorpio, which is ruled by Mars and Pluto. And this is when the trees, instead of sending all of their energy up into the leaves and branches and begetting fruit, turn that energy back down into their roots, and all of that energy goes down into the underworld. And so this is Scorpio's association with the underworld. And Scorpio also has an association, a very powerful and strong association, with heartbreak. So all of those promises that were made in youth, that your parents would be there forever, that you would always be provided for, that love was a simple Valentine that you exchanged in the first grade. Okay, all of those things, talk to a Scorpio. They really come dashing to pieces in the zodiac sign of Scorpio. Now, that doesn't mean that this is the time of year when everyone's hearts are broken or things like this, but Scorpio, because it's the season that follows the summer, it's in the heart of autumn, it's experiencing everything going to seed, Scorpio experiences the disappointments, the loss, and the feeling of journeying down into the underworld, you know, looking at the things that lie underneath the surface niceties and seeing the fact that abundance has a cost, or abundance at least isn't there 24/7, 365 days a year and 66 on the leap. Okay, so Scorpio is this feeling of heartbreak. And what happens when you have heartbreak in your life? This is something that Scorpios are very proficient at. They know this quite well. And this is why people, as we've spoken a couple of weeks before, will turn to Scorpios, because Scorpios know what it's like to feel that. Scorpios know what it's like to give in to heartbreak, you know, to become embittered and to become very angry. And Scorpios also know what it's like to resist that undertow, okay, to not go and stay there. But at the same time, Scorpios will insist on being there. You know, if you are upset, You have a right to be upset. If your heart has been broken, your heart has been horribly broken. And you have the right, and you can make the emotional, psychic, and psychological space in your life to experience all of that and to feel that, you know, and to resist and even shout back at people who are saying, get over it, or you want to wallow in this, or, you know, we're coming here with these like appendages, these simple remedies. Why don't you recite this mantra? Or Scorpio says, none of that. You know, this is heartbreak. And if I'm going to feel heartbreak, I'm going to feel heartbreak. And they feel it with all the passion of an operatic mezzo soprano. Okay. So this is what we experience in Scorpio. It's the lowest point of love, when love is broken and finds it hard to not go down the path of anger and vengeance. And so that becomes its own struggle in the zodiac sign of Scorpio. When we move to the zodiac sign of Pisces, okay, which comes at the end of the agricultural year, and when Pisces is done, we begin the new year, okay, in the zodiac sign of Aries. When we come to the zodiac sign of Pisces, what we experience is that heartbreak mending itself, okay? That is not the nature of the water signs, and it's not the nature of water to stay broken. Water doesn't break. I mean, waves may break on the shore, but water doesn't break. What water does is recycle, okay? You can have water on the ocean and it may evaporate, or water on the pond or a stream or even a simple puddle. It evaporates and it goes and gathers up. It transcends. It goes up into the air and it gathers as storm clouds, okay? So water disappears. So this idea of like water disappearing, you know, the mystery of that disappearance, that it goes up into the clouds where it becomes heavy. And when it becomes heavy to enough of a degree and an extent, it returns to the earth as life-giving water. It returns as rain. It rains on the deserts and life comes back to life. It rains where there used to be puddles and rivulets and streams. And now there are dry beds and holds and holes and fissures in the land, but then the water returns and it fills back up and it becomes puddles, it becomes ponds and creeks. Okay, so water has this way of leaving and then returning again. It's just like a fountain. You know, if you can almost think of Cancer as the base of the fountain, the water comes up and spurts out through the Scorpio and then it returns back to the base, and that is the Pisces. And so this return, this coming back again, this refreshing, this restoration. Okay, these are the ideas that are associated with Pisces. And Pisces, as we know, is a sign that we often associate with unconditional love, with compassion, with mercy, with feeling for people outside of its family. Okay. With Cancer, you have the strong familial bond. So it's, you know, it's blood relatives first. You stand by the people that are part of your family. But with Pisces, it's compassion and care and love for people who have nothing to do with your family. And in fact, many Pisceans go and find families outside of their own families. They, you know, they go and find strangers from different neighborhoods or foreign lands or exotic cultures, and they feel that they found themselves there. So there is a sort of looking beyond where I start out with in the zodiac sign of Pisces. But what happens with water, as I said, water evaporates, it returns to the clouds and fills up, and then it comes back down as rain again. What happens with water, and if you have very strong water in your chart, you're going to be very strong in those water faculties, like memory and dreams and imagination. Okay, these are all strong and relevant to the element of water. But at the same time, the capacity to be restored after having been heartbroken and hurt is there. It's inherent in the sign. The sign cannot stop loving. And even for people born under aspects, difficult aspects in the water signs, difficult planetary aspects or difficultly aspected Scorpio, even though they want to go to a place of anger and hardness, you know, because Scorpio can be a fixed sign, they can't stay there. It's the nature of water to move on, to move past, to transcend, to return to the clouds so it can continue that water cycle. And so that's why, again, as I said, we experience in Pisces things like unconditional love and forgiveness and compassion. But lest we start associating ideas of, you know, evolution, like one sign is better or higher or whatever than the other, we always have to remember that all signs have different aspects and different features to them. Compassion can be taken to an extent where there's no feeling for the people in your lives and you're always feeling sympathetic for people you've never met or will never meet who are suffering on TV. You know, it can be like, oh, my heart goes out to these people who are suffering countries away or these people who are suffering in society. You know, but meanwhile, loved ones and best friends can stand almost virtually ignored. Pisces have a tendency to sort of stream their emotions. They can go from laughter to ecstasy to depression to hate to anger and return to ecstasy and compassion and laugh in a 10-minute cycle. Okay, so Pisces can sort of like what I call channel change through all these different emotions. And it's kind of at times hard for them to stay with one. One might say, well, this is good that this is very fluid. This shows Pisces' capacity to love the entire spectrum of love. But what it can also introduce into the zodiac sign of Pisces can be a kind of generic quality that I feel the same for you that I feel for a favorite pair of sneakers, to a Bach concerto, to, a Simply Red tune, to a sunset, to fish in the sea, you know, like the emotions just sort of stream through and they don't really inhabit or stay in one particular place. And at times what can happen is that Pisces can feel this kind of lack of intimacy or this lack of even staying, you know, that they've sort of moved on emotionally. So here we are. Here we are, as I said, with this Venus in Scorpio, trine to Jupiter, which will be taking place on November 15th, with this Mercury in Scorpio, trine to Jupiter, which takes place on November 16th, and then this Sun in Scorpio, trine to Jupiter, which takes place on November 20th. And I kind of like to see them almost like, well, to me, it's remarkable because the week before, Venus trined Neptune on November 10th, Mercury trined Neptune on November 12th, the Moon trined Neptune on November 14th, and then Venus trines Jupiter on the 15th, Mercury trines Jupiter on the 16th, the Sun trines Jupiter on the 20th. So really what's happening with these three planets, Venus, Mercury, and the Sun, is that they're hitting each of the two planets which took place in this extraordinary conjunction. Okay, that took place earlier this year. Okay, but this conjunction that went on between Jupiter and Neptune didn't stream. It didn't really move its energy forward. It came together in the conjunction, you know, so you have almost like the planting of the seed, but it's not until these trines that conjunction energy becomes activated, okay, because we have planets that are now moving to another water sign that are signaling to this Jupiter Saturn this Jupiter Neptune conjunction to open its energies, to really sort of open its channels, to open its floodgates. Okay, it's signaling to open the floodgates and to rain, to pour, to move that energy on forward. So where the conjunction itself in Pisces took place in Aries, okay, which is a fire sign, it's not a water sign, it's not until we get into Scorpio season that we have the Venus and the Mercury and the Sun in Scorpio trining, okay, that energy that conjoined, okay, in April in Pisces. But not only that, each one of the planets trines each of the planets which took place in the conjunction the week before, or trines to Neptune, the week after trines to Jupiter. So what that signals to me as an astrology is that energy is moving. Okay, it's not stationary. Okay, if you think of water, it's not a well. Okay, a well, you build a well and there's water from underground that comes up into the well and it doesn't, you know, you have to go and take a bucket and dip it and bring the, you know, carry the water to the village and things like that. Okay, or there's a spring that you put a pipe to or something like that, but the well or the spring doesn't stream, it doesn't flow. It's only with this trine that energy streams. It's only with this trine that energy flows. And of course, we won't be able to experience even a return to Pisces because Jupiter will have gone into Aries in December. So what does this mean? What's going on here? I think what's going on here is that the planets are bringing our focus. The planets are keenly bringing our focus to the zodiac signs of Scorpio and Pisces. Okay. I don't know why they left Cancer out, but somehow Cancer was left out in this equation. So the focus is really going to Scorpio to Pisces. So what it's really focusing on is heartbreak and anger and fury, you know, again, those underworld emotions that are associated with Scorpio. And of course, what is the beauty of Scorpio? Scorpio holds that for all of us. Scorpio holds that for the people in their life, you know, and it doesn't hold it as an incriminating finger wagging, you know, accusation. It can, but it doesn't. It holds it as life can do this, life can be like this, and you can come back from it, or you can be fulfilled by it, or a broken heart, you know, and it's a very Scorpio statement. A broken heart means you can love more deeply. Okay. Hearts need to be broken in order to love more deeply, okay? If a heart is not broken, in other words, if you get everything that you want in life, if that breast is always there and your poop is always being changed in the diaper, if you get everything you want in life, you grab a fish or a fruit or vegetable presents itself, if you get everything you want in your life, your capacity to love isn't very deep, okay? It's kind of like based on fulfilling my appetite. That's what it is. It's like, I'm hungry. I want a breast to nurture me, or I want comfort. I want arms to embrace me, you know, and I want it now. And you might even like cry out or scream for it. Okay. So the thing is, it's through not getting what you want all the time. It's through heartbreak. It's going through emotional hardship that the heart opens. Okay. That the heart opens. Wow. I know what that's like. I went through something that was really difficult. I went through a disaster. I went through a heartbreak. I went through a war zone. I watched, you know, a society flattened. All right. And I carry that horror and I carry that trauma with me. Okay. And I know what that's like, or I feel for people who are going through that. This transmission of sympathy, this streaming of compassion, this arousal of mercy and support and care. Okay. This is done through heartbreak. This is done through difficulty. And this is one of the things that Scorpio absolutely stands for, although it will resist those things. Remember that Scorpio is Mars ruled. Mars is named after the Roman god of war. So Mars doesn't take kindly to weakness. Mars doesn't take kindly to showing any kind of weakness or tenderness or sensitivity. And from the Scorpio point of view, it's because if you show that, it's going to get used. If you show tenderness, someone's going to hurt you in a tremendous way. If you show sympathy, someone's going to say, oh, there's someone I can take advantage of, you know, and someone's going to exploit you in a horrible way. So this is why Scorpio holds on to its willpower. And the willpower is anger. Anger is something that is associated to Mars. So it can be hard for Scorpio to let go of that anger. All right. Now, some people might ask, what is the point of letting go of the anger? You know, it's like, I have a right to be angry. I've been harmed. Okay. The point of letting yourself let go of the anger. It's letting go of anger is not something I'm going to resolve to do one day and I'm going to meditate and I'm going to let go of my anger. It doesn't happen like that. Letting go of anger is actually a letting go of the letting go. Okay. It's actually letting yourself go to that place. And it usually happens when you're ready to move on emotionally. You know, the heart needs its time to be calloused. Okay. It's like a seed. A heart needs its time to be calloused. It needs its time to be withheld and buried. Like a seed, there will come a time in the year when there is this impulse to come out of that seed, to send out, to send out roots and tendrils to sprout and to reach once again towards the light. And this is something that happens as the sun moves into the zodiac sign of Pisces. And it's done through, as I said, compassion and forgiveness. Compassion and forgiveness can only take place if you know what it's like to have been hurt, okay? And if you have the courage of meeting that tall order, of responding to the impulse of forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't a virtue that you exercise, you know, to be a good person. Forgiveness is embedded in human nature. It is. It's there. But we don't always answer that, and we don't always follow that, but it's there. And the water signs are very much attuned to that. And also the opening up and the welcoming of other people. But it's very hard to understand that pain begets love. Okay, we like to think love begets love, and it does, but pain deepens love. Heartbreak makes love unfathomable. Okay, love replaces the black hole of heartbreak with the well, with the water buried underneath of love that can be drawn upon and come back up. So here we're sort of being asked, it's always nice to beat our swords into plowshares, but here we're almost being asked to give up our grudges at the door. You know, what I see this week, it's almost as if Venus and Mercury and the Sun are kissing on each cheek Jupiter in their trine as they enter the zodiac sign of Sagittarius, which is Jupiter ruled, on the day after. You know, so there's almost this kind of like welcome kiss, you know, not an air kiss, but a welcome kiss and an embrace as they cross over the threshold into the zodiac sign of Sagittarius, following the trines that take place this week. And of course, with Sagittarius, we're talking about benevolence, okay? We're talking about what is spiritual, and we're talking about what is good in humanity. And these are the things that are being embraced. So as we cross over this threshold, you know, and we feel or respond to an appeal to be compassionate, to be forgiving, to be caring, to be sympathetic, okay, and with people that we may not be feeling that way with at all. Now, nobody's saying that you have to like take them off the hook and, you know, embrace them as your new bestie. No. But the thing is, if you resist forgiveness, then you are a prisoner of contempt. You know, if you resist forgiveness, you remain a prisoner of contempt. And we see what contempt has done with people who are supposed to be holy. We see what anger has done with people who are supposed to be sacred. You know, we see what getting back at retaliation, you know, and the glee and the triumph of cruelty has done with people who profess to be deeply spiritual and deeply compassionate and deeply committed to making the world a better place. This is what happens. This is what happens if you can't go there. Not can't go there. This is what happens if you don't let yourself go there. This is what happens if you worship the vainglory of self-righteousness. If you fall into the temptation of knowing better, you know, of being a superior being to other people, of looking down your nose, this is what happens. That kind of vainglory, it leaves no sacred place untouched. It will come into every aspect of human life. It's why people have often questioned and lost faith in institutions, in things that are supposed to be better, you know, things that are supposed to show the way. and in those times when the institutions fail. What we've learned in the history of astrology, and what we've learned in the marvelous history of the eclectic expressions of spirituality on this planet, is calling upon the spirit within one's self and following that conscience and following that guidance, okay? And walking through the temples with the heckling crowds and the people at the megaphones and the microphones, you know, espousing this, espousing that, you know, making our ears see through the sophistry, the double speak, the double meaning that's meant to divide and to create anger and harshness, you know. And it's not even anger in a pure anger like what I've talked about with the water sign of Scorpio. It's a malice. It's a malevolence. It's a delight. It's a delight in the misfortune of another. Who would ever delight in the misfortune of another person? Even if someone has harmed you and done you wrong, you know, isn't the feeling more like, I want to be as far away from that energy or as far away from that person as possible, you know, and that person will probably get their comeuppance and I don't want to be around for that. You know, I don't want that toxicity infiltrating my life. Okay. So this is where that bridge that's being built this week between Scorpio to Pisces. And Pisces isn't going to promise redemption for everyone or anything like, and all those things along the lines. I mean, Pisces has, as I said, its own dark current. It is the last sign of the zodiac, and apocalyptic fantasies can be very popular with Pisces. Look at some religions on this planet. They can't wait for an apocalypse to start because they have no imagination. They can't imagine a world that could be better and more beautiful. They have no compassion. There's no room in the heart for people who don't do as well for them, you know. So, Pisces in its dark side can represent that. It can be an ultimate pessimism of like only an apocalypse can wipe or wash clean all the sins that we express in the world, or only by turning my back on my fellow human can I find the peace that I want. Well, that might work for some, but for most people, that turning the back, that's a resignation. You know, that's a resignation or leaving a world which is in need of your compassion, a world which is in need of your understanding, and a world that's in need of your sympathy and of your empathy, a world that's in need of your contribution, you know, for something that can be imagined in a much more lovely and better and positive light. This is something that the Jupiter-ruled signs will always hold out for. Sagittarius will always hold out for that, and Pisces will always hold out for that. And so that is what's being asked of you as we pass over the threshold from Scorpio into Sagittarius, as Venus trines Jupiter, as Mercury trines Jupiter, as the Sun trines Jupiter. What's being asked of you is faith in yourself, faith in your humanity, and the restoration of this planet as a whole.
Hi there, I'm Amy Escobar, a producer of the Horoscope Highlight Show with Christopher Renstrom. Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology Hub Podcast Network. If you love the show, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, review, and share it. And if you don't know how to do that, here's how you can leave a review in Apple Podcasts on iPhone. Make sure you're on the landing page for the Astrology Hub Podcast and not an individual episode. Scroll down to the bottom until you reach Ratings and Reviews. Click one of the 5 stars under Tap to Rate to leave a rating, and under the Most Recent Review, tap the Write a Review button. And if you're on another device, just find out how to leave a review on whatever podcast player you use. Then, share what you love about the show or how it helps you navigate your life. We'd love to hear your stories. And by doing this, you make it possible to make shows like Horoscope Highlights happen every week. thank you again for tuning in, for being a part of our community, and for making astrology a part of your life.